Okay. Oh, this is the where they get married and shit, right?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
The very end of it, you see a scene where they're getting married.
Yep.
Okay. All
Secretly.
right. All right. Let me push the buttons.
Way to
Ready?
spoil it.
Dude.
Welcome to the Rebel Alliance Briefinger. Please visit our website, https://raer.kaileJohansen.us. There you can find links to send us feedback, connect to us on social media, or instructions on how to load the podcast onto your device. I'm Kyle John Johansson. This is Andrew Scott Sutton and Rick Ross Bosley.
Yeah, Rick.
It's time to talk Star Wars.
Hey, we got the whole crew today. Today we're reviewing a Star Wars sequel movie, The Attack of the Clones, Episode 2. So we'll be reviewing that and asking for feedback several times. And we're going to do an unboxing too. So the unboxing is coming up pretty quickly. I think you're all gonna like the unboxing. It's a different
we're
one.
Unboxing my knee.
Yes, we're unboxing your knee. No, we're not doing that. We're cutting the knee part out. Oops. Is that too soon? Oh,
I don't
shit.
Care.
Sorry, I'm pulling up something here and it's not where I want it to be.
Look at that microphone. Look at that microphone.
Yeah, look at the microphone.
Go Royals.
Where?
Go Royals.
No.
I just thought I'd say it. Yeah. Since they're going to the playoffs.
Made the playoffs.
Baby.
Sorry, I've gotta pull something up that I forgot to pull up. Just take me a second. Wikipedia.
A blue foamy microphone.
Yeah, it's so I don't spit as much or make spitting noises or something. I don't know.
The shelves are kind of full behind you.
Yep. Always been, the ones behind me have always been full. Here we go.
I'll turn down my TV because I know you'll probably say it's interfering, so.
Oh, okay.
I scored my first Funko Pop, Scott.
Yeah, he did. He bought one somewhere. Maryville or something.
Yeah, over Maryville. A Grogu and the Rancor, man. It's a big one.
All right, so we did that. So, okay, let's do this button here. All right, we're going to beg for feedback right away. We got feedback at kylejohansson.us. We're on the website. Over on the left-hand side, there's a button that says feedback. Pulls up a form, and you can fill it out and send it to us. We're also on Twitter, at @super_duper_pod. We're on Blue Sky, at Rebel Alliance Briefing Room, all one word. And then, of course, we're on YouTube and several places there because we have audio and video on YouTube. And we're on any other, website that you get your audio from. There's a lot of them have comments on there, so we prefer the ones we mention, but go ahead and send us as many comments as you want. Feedback. So we're going to do an unboxing, so that means I got to rearrange my camera.
Careful, Scott. He's pulling out a knife.
Whoa.
I know, right? Are you certified to do this, sir? Are you certified to do this again?
No.
Now we have a special treat. It's unboxings.
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
Here's the knife. Oh, you see it? Oh, there it is.
It's a letter opener.
It's a letter opener. I killed it off some teacher's desk, probably.
Oh, don't hurt yourself.
All right. Well, you see, there's a preview.
I like it. Gotcha!
Gotcha!
It's a good old Jar Jar Binks.
Misa likey a lot.
He's number 700.
700. Wow.
You must.
Yeah, I don't think they have like, well, they do. I guess they do have numbers below 100, I guess. But anyway, here's the side. Jar Jar Binks, number 700. There's the back. It's got the Anakin Skywalker, the little kid, Obi-Wan Kenobi,
Watto.
Padme Watto. So this one is probably, yep, episode one. So this one's from the episode one version of him. Here's his, he's got one of the Bombas in
Bomb
his
things.
Bombas.
He's got a blue ball.
Yeah.
Bomb boss.
Blue balls, number 700 again. So there's the top. And like we did last week, let me get this back on.
Ah, what is
Yeah,
that?
exactly. So last week, what we started doing was talking a little bit about the subject of the unboxing. And Jar Jar Binks is an Olata Gungan who is from the Midrim Territories planet of Naboo. All right.
Gungan.
He 32 before the Battle of Yavin is when we first see him. And Boss Nass has banished him from the main city or whatever you want to call it, home of the Otagunga, an underwater city beneath Naboo's Lake Patagonia. He crashed his personal submarine is why they kicked him out is what it says for exile. And he was there during when the Fed Feder The Trade Federation landed on the Naboo, and that's where he ran into Qui-Gon Jinn, and he got supposedly saved, and he had to stay with him until he fulfilled his promise to pay his debt or whatever. He became the ambassador of Naboo, kind of a fill-in for Padme. Basically, when she wasn't there, he was the ambassador, her ambassador. Yes, he owed Jin a life debt. Got a capital city. Let's see.
And say life debt, right? That's what they called it, right?
Oh, yeah,
You
life debt.
are correct. Okay.
And he wrote in, Nos gave, Qui-Gon and Kenobi, a Bongo submarine where they traveled through the planet core with Jar Jar. Met kind of some weird creatures. I guess Anakin was there too.
There's always something bigger out there.
Yeah, there's always something bigger.
Bomb.
And he was a Bombad general in the war against the Trade Federation. Where they had the big shield over him and they were throwing the blue balls and hurting everybody's balls and whatever, dropping balls
Blue
and
balls.
banging balls and whatever.
You better get rid of those blue balls or they explode on you.
Yeah, I was gonna
Yeah.
say there were explosions.
Don't warm those blue balls up too fast.
And he was also manipulated by Palpatine.
Yeah.
To create the Grand Army. He was one of the guys that voted for it. The droid are the not the droids, but the clones,
Clone. Yeah.
which nobody knew about. And then all of a sudden they appeared. So he was a big part of that. And that's kind of it. That's kind of him. So that's our unboxing. Yay.
Now we have a.
Unboxing.
USA did a good job. You are
Yeah.
good, sir.
I
You
got
are
that one
good.
just a couple weeks ago. I ordered it. It was a special or something they had. All right, so let's get into Star Wars. The sequel movie, Attack of the Clones, Episode 2.
Close.
So originally, it was released on May 16th, 2002, and was 142 minutes long. The budget was 120 million, and the timeline in Star Wars time is 22 before the Battle of Yavin, which means it's basically 10 years after Episode One.
Did we go see these together?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, these have been out for so long. 2002. I don't know what I was doing back then. I was here in Kansas City because we moved here in 2000.
Yeah.
So we might have. We might have gone to them.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if we did because I would have been with Bitch and. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Well, I'm sorry. You might have to bleep that, but I don't care.
Nah. 10 years after the Battle of Naboo, the galaxy is on the brink of war. Jedi Master Count Dooku and thousands of systems threaten to secede the Republic. The Attack of the Clones was the first Star Wars movie to use high-definition digital 24-frame system for its live action. The film was a success, grossing over $600 million box office worldwide. And I think that's just back in 2002, 2003 year time. It's not ever since then, so it's made a lot more money since then. This is also the first time that...
How do they make money? How do the actors keep making money off of it since it's on Disney Plus?
They get a little bit, but I think they get some. Most of them were smart enough to get money from paraphernalia like the toys and the dolls and the bobbleheads and stuff.
Bobbleheads, yeah.
And some of them got a lot of money. I mean, the first three movies they didn't pay them a lot of money, but after that they got paid pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. I just wonder how. I wonder how Disney Plus handled that crap.
I. It's a good question. I think obviously we pay them Disney Plus every month, mm-hmm. so they. I don't know how they split that money up, honestly, but there is a version of Disney Plus now that is a lot cheaper. But it has ads that pop up every once in a while. Kind of like you see sometimes on Netflix. Sometimes you see those, but
yeah,
or YouTube. So anyway, this was the first film, Star Wars film, that did not earn the highest sales for that year. So all of them before that were the highest grossing film of the year. Attack of the Clones ended up being fourth behind Lord of the Rings. The Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, and Spider-Man. So really? There was a lot of big movies out that year.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so let's get into the cast and all that stuff. So that would be director. Cooper. Yeah. Director was George Lucas. Of course, the writer was George Lucas. And he had help from Jonathan Hales. And then, of course, the music was by John Williams again.
Who produced it?
We had Ewing McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Mm-hmm.
Natalie Portman as Padme. Hayden Christian was Anakin Skywalker. That's the first time Hayden was portrayed Anakin. Christopher Lee was Count Dooku, or his Darth name was Darth Tyrannus. I don't know if you picked that up all the way, Rick, but Samuel L. Jackson was Mace Windu. Frank Oz was the puppeteer and the voice of Yoda. Ian McDiarmid was Supreme Chancellor Palpatine. Pernell August was Shmi Skywalker again. Same lady from the first movie. And mm-hmm. this is the first time we saw Temuera Morrison, who played Jango Fett, and he played Boba Fett, and he played all the clones and blah, blah, blah. Jimmy Smits was Senator Bail Organa. Jack Thomason was Kleeg Lars, which I think that's... Kleeg was the guy that was in the shop or the cafe or something, wasn't he? Maybe not. No, Kleeg was the... Kleeg was the dad that was in the wheelchair thing and didn't go save his shimmy from the from the Raiders.
It would have been Annie's step.
Okay. Yeah. So Leanna Walsman played Zam Wessel. who was the assassin that had the worm thing, that was a shapeshifter. Again, Ahmaud Best played Jar Jar Binks.
Ta-da!
Yeah. Rose Dern was Dorme, which is one of Padme's handmaidens. Let's see. Who else is...
Anakin's stepbrother, Owen, was... I can't think of his name. Edgerton.
You're right. Joel Edgerton. I got it right here. We are almost to that point.
Gotcha, not quite. Sorry.
No, you're fine. I was actually going to skip around a little bit because there's some of these that we don't care about. So Andy Sicombe was Watto again. We had Anthony Daniels as C-3PO. Silas Carson was Calamundi. And or Viceroy Newt Gungry. You said Joel Edgerton was Owen Lars. Daniel Logan played the young Boba Fett. He still goes to all the conventions too. Looks a lot different.
Yeah.
Let's see who else. Matt Sloan played Plo Koon, which is one of the weird Jedi alien guys. Let's see anybody else interesting. Zachariah Jensen played Kit Fistu.
The Kamehamehan people. Who was the, like, the, I can't think of a Kamehamehan prime minister.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about. I don't know their name either, and I don't have them on my list. There's like.
This was like the first time we got to see the Kamehamehans, right?
I think so, yeah.
You mean the tall thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the tall.
The cloners.
The cloners. There's another list of additional cast members, and I don't have that. So they're probably on there.
Yeah, and so help me out on this one too, because when Anakin, or not Anakin, when Obi goes to the cafe, who's the Dex guy? That guy like shows up again in something, or was in the Obi series or something, right? The guy that was like the cook or whatever at the cafe,
right.
The four arms.
He was an informant, basically. Somebody that Obi-Wan Kenobi dealt with before in the past.
Yeah. Okay.
And he had maybe he was into smuggling or something, so he knew some of the players or something.
Maybe that's why.
And he's gone legit now, and he's doing he's cooking. I don't.
Yep.
That's what I think. So.
He had bomber butt.
Yeah. Big time. Big time. He had to pull his pants up a couple times, didn't he?
Yeah, good thing he had an extra hand.
All right. So we know what that means. It's time to grab your favorite beverage, pull up a chair, and join us in the Rebel Alliance briefing room. Yay. So we had an opening crawl on this one. Again, I'm going to read the opening crawl because it kind of makes sense. Oh, you're out. Your beverage is empty.
Yeah. I was early, and I got thirsty.
Mine's almost gone too, but yeah, I was late. We'll talk about it later. Nothing bad, but so the opening crawl says the unrest in the Galactic Senate. There's unrest in the Galactic Senate. Several thousand solar systems have declared their intention to leave the Republic. The separatist movement under the leadership of Count Dooku has made it difficult for a limited number of Jedi to maintain the peace and order in the galaxy. Senator Amidala, the former Queen of Naboo, is returning to the Senate to vote on critical issues creating an army of the Republic to assist the overwhelming Jedi. And then we get the credits and we get this right here. Right there. All right. So 10 years after the events of Phantom Menace, the Galactic Republic is in crisis. A separatist movement led by Count Dooku with the alias of Sith Lord Darth Tyrannus is threatening peace, causing the Galactic Senate to debate a military creation act to form a standing army for the Republic's protection. Senator Padme returns to Coruscant to vote against the act. She doesn't like it. She's voting against it. And even though there's no longer enough Jedi to maintain the peace in the galaxy, upon her arrival, she narrowly escapes an assassination attempt. She's on the landing platform. Remember, it blows up. Boom. Yeah. And it actually kills one of her stand-ins gets killed. And she feels guilty because it should have been her, she said. This is when the Chancellor Palpatine was all upset and stuff and said, hey, maybe we need to send Obi-Wan Kenobi and his apprentice Anakin to protect her.
They just got back from a job.
Exactly, from somewhere in the Outer Rim, wasn't it? They didn't say. Yeah. Didn't really say. That night, the assassin Zam Wells makes another attempt on Amidala's life, though the Jedi are able to foil her plot. Because they sense it, and they go, bzz, 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 bzz. At least Anakin does. He goes, bzz, 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 and chops that thing up.
Yeah, both of there them was up. Some sushi being made right there, baby.
Yeah. And that's where we saw R2-D2 had his little radar going.
Anakin was all perplexed.
He was.
Like, oh, I haven't seen her forever. Oh, she forgot me. Oh.
10 years ago. He did a lot of Owen. That's right. He had his O face all night long. Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yes.
I thought Jar Jar got rid of those blue balls.
Exactly. Had that war over with and done already.
Thought they were gone.
So they pursue Zam through the city in a stolen cruiser that Anakin stole. And Anakin jumps out, and Obi-Wan says, I hate it when he does that.
I hate it when he does that.
Right. And they chase. Yeah, a little bit of space jumping. And they end up chasing her to a bar. They question her when she gets shot or something, right?
Shifter.
Well, yeah, they get her outside and then yeah,
shoots a saber dart. Shot by a saber dart, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And they question her, but they don't get any answers really. She says something about something, but the only real clue they have is the dart, right?
Yeah.
They learn the name
for the reptilian, like whatever looking thing she was.
She's shaped back into it, yeah.
Yeah.
Returning to the temple, Obi-Wan is assigned by the council to track down the assassin killer. Meanwhile, Anakin continues his task of protecting the senator and asks to escort her back to her home planet of Naboo.
Dun, dun, dun.
Anakin welcomes the opportunity. Of course I will.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. I like her a lot. Yes.
We'll put some Barry White on the trip.
Anakin is very frustrated and angry about Obi-Wan's criticism at this time too, because Obi-Wan gives him lots of, you know, hey, you need to watch yourself and only do what I've ordered you to do, and he wants to branch out on his own and stop being under the watchful eye of Obi-Wan Kenobi. This is making him think angry thoughts quite a bit. And he's also infatuated with the Padme and relishes a chance to spend time with her and be away from Obi-Wan Kenobi for a little bit. Jar Jar Binks assumes senator duties in her absence.
Music can do that.
I can do it, I think. I don't know.
I think I can do it.
I think I can.
And this is where, like you said, Obi-Wan Kenobi goes off searching for Kamino. So he goes to the library and can't find anything. No, it doesn't exist. It's not on the maps. It's not on the library. It doesn't exist. So he takes the map thing with him and he goes. This is where we see Yoda and the younglings, and he checks the map up there and he says, should be right about here, but it's nothing there. And then Yoda's like, children, what do we think about that? And they're like, gravity. Oh, it must be there. It's the gravity's pulling towards it.
Yeah.
So Yoda basically tells him to go do it, and
Go find
this
it.
is where you see Prime Minister Lama Su, which is the first one, and then I forget what the other one's name was. That
Anna Tay or something like that.
yeah,
I don't
it's the
remember
one we
either.
saw in the Bad Batch most of the time. All right, so it's missing 10 years ago. That he finds out that from Lama Su that 10 years ago, Jedi Master Sifo Dyas, although Obi-Wan was under the impression that Sifo Dyas was killed before that time, so someone impersonated Sifo Dyas and ordered a clone army 10 years ago, back when Obi-Wan Kenobi wasn't even
He was a
he was still a
Padawan.
Padawan. Yeah, he was Qui-Gon Jinn's Padawan. And he believes that he's been able to track Jango Fett, who he thinks is the killer or the attempted killer of Padme. We talked to him a little bit. We get to see a little bit about all the clones being farmed, or whatever you want to call it, or grown. I don't know.
Cultivated.
We find that
Cultivated.
Django is just being paid mostly just to be a template. They need his blood every once in a while to make another batch of clones or something like that.
But the important thing was is the only thing that he requested was he wanted an unaltered clone of his DNA.
Which he named Boba Fett.
Which we learned
Obi.
Boba.
Did he get teased in school?
And he raised
Go
on his
Bobby.
own. Yeah,
And I think his schooling was homeschooling.
I think so too.
I do too.
I think they wandered around the facility, or that small cabin they were living in, or whatever. Seemed to that would have been hell.
But I think he got a lot of on-the-job training.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean
School,
that was kind of like a
they had a
hotel
pretty
room.
good shot.
It's
Yeah,
kind of
at
like a
that young
hotel room. I'm
age.
sure he had access to all kinds of other things.
School of hard knocks for sure.
So also this is where he sends a message back to the council in the rain, with R4 doing this the tr transmission. That's
The
important
red one,
because
right?
it's important because he claims he doesn't ever own a droid, and R4 is one of them that he has for a while. Anyway, R4 and him, and then he sends it back. They tell him that they want him to apprehend the supposed killer, Jango Fett. And Jango Fett has already thought of that and was like, "Oh, he's gonna do something, so I better get out of here." So he's loading up,
Somehow,
he's packing up his ship already, right?
he's got his go bag and he's on the roll.
And Obi-Wan catches him packing his ship up, and they have a fight out there on the in the
On
rain. They have a big fight, and he gets thrown over the side and catches onto some grappling ropes or something, and gets thrown down, and it looks like he has fallen into the water, but he's hanging underneath one of the bridges,
no.
and Django's like, "Screw it, he's dead. I'm gonna go back up there." And he crawls back up and gets out of town.
Name it on the rain.
And eventually Obi-Wan gets up there, and he like attaches a tracker on his ship. Blah blah
But
blah,
we
missiles.
Django's the one that actually, or Boba's the one that actually flies the ship, so we know that he can
Right.
fly even though he's young.
He knows how to do it. He's barely tall enough to do it. He has to stand up to see over the dashboard.
I can't think of what that ship's name is.
Yeah, that's
Hey, baby dog.
Slave One. Slave One is what they call it.
That's right.
Doing
So Django departs with Boba. Obi-Wan places a homing beacon on Slave One and follows them to the planet of Geonosis,
Geonosis.
which is where they're building all the droids and stuff. And
The cliff planet.
right. And Anakin and Padme have been spending so much time together in Naboo, enjoying each other's company. playfully frolicking in the fields and rolling around and kissing and hugging and
flowers.
Yeah,
we tried rodeo on the deer or bulls or whatever they were. Yeah,
those things.
You know, they're rodeo.
Blargs is what they're called. Blargs. It's the same thing that was in the Mandalorian that the I Have Spoken guy wrote.
Yeah. That's right.
I Have Spoken.
During this time, Anakin reveals his deep love for her and says he can't live without her and vows to do whatever she requests. And he like cuts fruit with the force and stuff and throws it at her, and she's like, yummy.
Peach.
But she also resists him. She says,
"I could eat a peach for hours."
Says, "We can't do this. We'll get caught." And it's forbidden.
It's a code.
Yeah, Jedi aren't supposed to have love and stuff. And she's a senator.
That's why I use hookers.
This makes Anakin angry. Ooh, angry.
Oh, me mad. He
experiences internal conflict of his strong desires for her and his duties to the Jedi.
I think
Anakin is also troubled by his visions he sees when he sleeps of his mother. And she's in grave danger. And he realizes that this is a premonition that's actually going to happen.
And I can't get up.
He tells Padme, I don't know. I got to go, but I can't go because Obi-Wan's going to yell at me. And she says, she's like, I want to go and you have to guard me. So you have to go with me.
Yeah.
But we're going to go to Tatooine.
She had that hot, and she had that hot white suit on.
Mm. Yeah, she did. Oh, yeah. So Anakin, they arrive at Tatooine. Disobeying Obi-Wan, of course, and he tracks down Watto and learns from Watto that his mother was sold and the guy Clegg let her free and they got married eventually. So they traveled to Lars's moisture rep farm, which oddly enough kind of looks like the place that Luke Skywalker was at. Huh. That's weird. There, Anakin and Padme find C-3PO.
Are you foreshadowing?
Huh.
From your foreskin?
They find C-3PO again. He's been upgraded a little bit. And Clegg tells Anakin the horrible truth. That her mother was kidnapped a month ago by a pack of Tusken Raiders, and they fought him off, and that's kind of why he's in the wheelchairs. He got beat up a little bit.
And he lost his leg.
Lost his leg. Got beat up and lost his leg.
My leg.
Just like Scott, he's got no legs. Oh, never mind. So Anakin's very upset about this, of course. He's like, what the hell? Why wouldn't you go get your wife? What's wrong with you, boy?
My mama. My mama.
So he goes out in the middle of the night and finds her tied and beaten in a Tusken camp. Looked like she had been, turned around so she could be raped or something, too. I don't know. It looked pretty bad. And she was on her last leg. She's, like, barely holding on. He unties her, and she's like, is that you, Annie? I love you, Annie. And he gets even more upset. My mom died.
My mama.
And he goes and opens up his lightsaber.
He goes
and he ends up murdering the entire camp, even the children. Oh, the women!
Isn't that when his eyes change?
They do while he's doing that a little bit, but they go back, I think.
Oh,
because
he's not fully vested in the dark side yet,
right?
But you know what? So let's talk about that for a minute, because in the original, When the original movie came out in 2002, that didn't happen. That was an upgrade when they like remade it later. They went back and changed the eyes.
Right.
So that was not when it was originally shown. That didn't happen, but they went back and tweaked that to make the tie-in because that's when Yoda senses that he's in terrible pain and because he's talking to Mace Windu at the council on
Exactly.
Coruscant. And that's when he first, realizes that Anakin is like got some issues.
Well, at least can confirm it from his
And
son.
make him fix me for his issues.
Because
But yeah.
that's the exact next thing that's on my thing here. It says Yoda senses a terrible darkness in the Force as the slaughter continues. Qui-Gon's voice can be heard shouting, "Anakin, Anakin, no!" during the scene. And Anakin brings his mother's body back to the homestead where her funeral is held. So both Yoda and Qui-Gon sense something, because he calls out to Anakin while he's slaughtering the people.
But Qui-Gon is dead.
Well, you're right. Well, not yet, not yet.
Yeah,
Did he die in
he
the
died.
first one? Yeah, he did. He
Yeah.
died in the first one. He died in the first one. You're right.
Which I never understood because when they did the remake on that too, they put him in there, but he's dead. Like so I don't know what the like other than it's I guess it's to show us that in the first episode that there was some question about him being, taken on as a Jedi. And Qui-Gon basically said that he would help supervise with Obi-Wan because he knew that there was something with Anakin that he
Yeah.
didn't quite, whatever. So.
Right. So also Qui-Gon is the first one that he's the first one that that discovers the thing where they can become the Force ghosts.
Oh,
He's
yeah.
the one that does that, and Yoda references that, I've got a friend that has shown me some new things that you can learn and stuff like that.
Oh.
That I want you to study on
Yeah.
when they end up taking Luke Skywalker and splitting him up and stuff. Anyway, that's the Revenge of the Sith movie, but
Yeah. So basically when they redid it or upgraded or whatever you want to call it, revised it, that's how they could incorporate some of that stuff into canon then by putting it in there.
right, exactly.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
Exactly. So they hold a little funeral and stuff out there in the
Desert.
desert, and
On a
Anakin's
horse
still
with no
pissed off
name.
of everybody, but he's still got the growly look. I can't believe you let her sit there,
But he still got the hot girl.
you lazy ass Lars guy.
Know.
You killed my
Yeah,
mom.
exactly. It's all your fault. You killed her.
There's a message when you get back to the ship. Oh no.
Then they flash to Geonosis, where Obi-Wan overhears a meeting between Count Dooku and the leaders of the Commerce Guild. Uh-oh. Rick cl clicked off on us.
No, I'm here. I just had a message pop up and I had to double check out who it
Oh, okay.
was.
Count Dooku is talking to the leaders of the Commerce Guild. We hear the techno droids, and then we have
Whoa.
Newt Gunray, and they talk about ordering the assassination of Amidala. Why can't we kill her? What's wrong with this stuff? Why
Can't
isn't
just
she dead? And then we find Obi-Wan Kenobi transmitting back to the council again. He says, "Hey, Anakin and Padme's ship, he has to route his message through their ship, and he can't find it, and then he realizes they're on
How do we? What are we
Tatooine."
doing there? How do we
And while
what?
he's doing his report, some droidicas capture him. We see it in the video that they play back later. So he can't finish his report, and then the Jedi Council knows of Dooku's army. Because that's kind of what Obi-Wan said. Mace Windu leads a battalion of Jedi to Geonosis. Unbeknownst to them, Anakin and Padme also make their way there to rescue Obi-Wan Kenobi. Meanwhile, Representative Binks calls for Chancellor Palpatine to be given emergency powers. See, this is where he takes his, where he does his little thing. And he calls for the recent discovered clone army to go into battle.
Yeah.
Back on Genosis, Count Dooku tries to persuade Obi-Wan Kenobi to join him. He says, the Jedi are corrupt, and what I'm doing is better, and, you know,
need to join me.
You need to join me. And he warns that Darth Sidious is now in control of the Senate. And he's like, what? There's a, that's not right. How can that be true? He says that the Jedi would know by now if that was the case. Because, you know, we do all this meditation and stuff. We should know by now. Anakin and Padme arrive on the planet, but quickly are captured by Jango Fett and sentenced to death. Go into this chariot thing, and, you know, they, I love you, I love you. I thought we weren't going to do this and stuff. And she's like, I can't stay away from you. I need to kiss you. But they're sentenced to be executed, and they join Obi-Wan Kenobi in the Genosis arena, where they are tied up to these high stand things with chains and stuff, right? Ooh, and she's pretty hot too. Count Dooku, Gung Ray, and a bunch of the Separatists, and Boba Fett and Jango Fett are watching the execution. The trio is forced to battle a Reek, a Nexu, and an Alakay while they're in chains.
Ooh, I never knew what those things were called. Which one's which? Which one's the praying mantis?
It doesn't say. Yeah. Usually there's a link that I can click on that'll show me what they are, but it doesn't say.
Gotcha.
I could look them up, I guess, if you really want me to.
That's all right. I can look them up.
Yeah.
One of them looked like a cheetah. The other one looked like a rhinoceros with three horns.
Yep.
And one looked like a big praying mantis thing.
Right. With a big mouth praying mantis thing.
And all the insect things had like these little cattle prod things that were shocking them with them to get them all fired up to go after them.
Right. Mace Windu arrives with his Jedi strike team. And they battle Dooku's droid army in the arena. He sneaks up on like Dooku and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I thought
Dooku was supposed to be some badass Sith guy, but he didn't realize that Mace Windu was right behind him.
Right.
He must have been wearing his sneakers.
He had his shields up. Upon seeing so many Jedi in one place, Jango Fett jetpacks to the arena floor and engages with Windu. After a short struggle, Windu manages to chop off his head, and it goes rolling. One of the jetpacks malfunctions and explodes somewhere off in the distance. Blah blah blah, droid army advantage, and then we see eventually Boba Fett down on the ground holding his dad's head, going, "What the hell? Where's my dad?" And
He was going to head out.
Yeah, he's going to head out. And then unexpectedly, Yoda arrives with a clone army. What? Where'd these guys come from? We almost lost. And Yoda arrives to save the day. As usual. That's probably why he's the Grand Poobah Master, whatever, in the council, right?
Yeah. Well, not yet. We got some surprises coming up with Yoda.
Yeah, and they have another battle, and they basically they fend off all the droids and stuff. Okay, we get a lot of people killed also.
So here's my question. Which one of the leaders was that Yoda was with the yellow? That's not Cody, and that's not Rex. It's the yellow one. Who's that one?
Crap.
The wolf?
It could be Wolf, yeah. I think Wolf was the one that was Yoda's commander. Because Obi-Wan Kenobi was always with one of them, and Anakin was always with one too.
Anakin was always with Rex.
Yeah, Anakin was with Rex, right?
I think Cody is with Obi, so maybe it's Wolf.
Yeah, I think you're right. That sounds right. But we also see a lot of the Jedi killed. We get this is where we see a lot of them. The one with the tentacle hair thing, he gets killed. The guy with the cone head, he gets killed. Calamundi gets killed.
Yep.
And then there's a battle outside too, as the droid or the clone army. They move outside of the arena and they start attacking the ships. The Confederacy is trying to escape in
the Trade Federation,
right?
Trade Federation,
and the clone army gains an upper hand. Eventually, leads the droid army to retreat. And Count Dooku escapes off on his own with the plans to a Death Star that were handed to him by one of Newt Gungray's people.
Yeah,
he escapes, but all of a sudden Obi-Wan and Anakin say, "Hey, look who that is!
It's Camp Doodoo.
If we get rid of him, we can end this war today. We've got to." But Padme's with him, and she falls out while they're on the in pursuit. And Anakin's like, "Stop, stop! I can't leave her.
We gotta go back.
Oh my god, I gotta go back." And Obi-Wan finally convinces him. He says, "What would she do?" Right? Yeah.
She would do her duty.
This is also where once he's convinced, Anakin's like, "Hey, attack the pillar at the top there, and it'll destroy the whole thing." And Yoda uses the Dooku is in his little lair trying to escape with his ship, and Yoda catches up with him, and they start throwing stuff at each other.
Well, you skipped a whole lot. Obi-Wan and Anakin
against Dooku, yeah, or whoever that is. Yeah,
you're right. Yeah, I skipped that part. You're right.
Count Dooku. So,
Count Dooku gets the plans of the Death Star. He escapes to his little lair area. And Obi-Wan and Anakin track him to the secret lair where they engage in combat. There you go.
There you go.
Unfortunately, they're no match for Dooku.
Because Annie loses his arm.
Yeah, he gets his arm cut off. They throw pillars. He throws pillars and stuff at him.
And shoots out the fire. Horse, the flame.
Horse lightning comes out of his fingers.
Yeah, we get to see that.
And he injures Obi-Wan and cuts off Anakin's arm, like you said.
Yeah. And
then, suddenly, when they're both on the ground, almost look like they're dead and stuff, and Dooku starts to start packing his ship, Yoda shows up. And we have a big battle with him and Yoda. It says, Dooku is about to escape, and the two masters of the Force go head-to-head, using lightning and so Yoda attempts to topple a pillar, and then Dooku throws a pillar that's going to land on top of Obi-Wan, and Yoda's like, stopping it so it doesn't kill him. And while Yoda is doing that, unfortunately, Dooku is escaping in his solar sailor. He flies into an industrial sector of Coruscant and meets up with his master, Darth Sidious, who is pleased that the war has begun as planned. And we're like, planned? What's going on here? Because it leads us to believe that Sidious is behind everything. In the temple, Obi-Wan and Mace Windu and Yoda ponder Dooku's warning about Darth Sidious controlling the Senate. And Yoda hesitates to believe it.
Are led to infer we're actually kind of, we don't ever actually see him. I guess we do, actually. It shows his face. But we realize it's Palpatine.
Right.
Couldn't remember if we did see his face, but I remember that's right. He actually, it shows enough that you can realize that it's Palpatine.
Exactly. When it, he's got the hood up, but you get to see part of his head and stuff. And
So going back to the, what we said earlier, so we are basically as a watcher to infer that Palpatine or someone in Palpatine's employ pretends to be the Diaz, the Jedi Diaz, to set up the clone army with the Kamameans.
Right. Right. Either him or someone else did it.
Yeah.
I think we actually find out in the next movie who it was, maybe. I don't know.
I don't remember, but we discover that the plans have been in the works for 10 years, roughly.
At least, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's...
And the Death Star is on the disc, which is the same disc that we see in Rogue One. I'd stop and think what it was.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Yes, it is. And I kind of, maybe he's been behind it since way before that. Maybe he orchestrated Anakin, you know, becoming a Jedi or Anakin something. I don't think at the time I had thought that Palpatine might have actually used the Force to make Anakin become alive yet. But when I had gone back and rewatched it at a later time, that's like, oh, okay. It came to me much later, I think. I thought Palpatine was behind some of the stuff, but I didn't think he was that much behind that much of stuff
until later. Yeah, I don't know that. I can see that possibly, but I don't know. I think he sees Anakin as the young Annie and sees an opportunity to be able to infiltrate that way. I don't know that, maybe. And maybe he did. Maybe I'm wrong. But I don't see him going back before Annie being born and setting that up. But I see him, once he meets Annie as a young kid in the first episode, totally seeing a way to, you know, hijack the Jedi and infiltrate the Jedi to set up the plans.
Well, I mean, we got to go back to episode one and remember that Shmi said that she didn't have sex. She just became pregnant.
Yeah, it's true. I mean,
immaculate conception.
Yeah. Could be.
So I don't know.
Maybe it was in Palpatine. So who was Palpatine, the Sith? You know, he was the acolyte under who? Darth who? Who comes before him?
Darth Plagueis the Wise.
And that's the one that we see in the Acolyte, right? Isn't that the one that we were led to believe that was him?
Yes. They never say officially, but yes.
So maybe it was Darth Plagueis then who does set up Anakin, and then Palpatine discovers that as his acolyte and then becomes Darth Sidious.
Now, he was already Darth Sidious. He just got rid of Plagueis.
Well, I know, but yeah, like he is in on it, and now he's the one that because Plagueis started the ball rolling, so to speak, he's the one then can put the ball into play with Anakin.
Like Plagueis was the one that studied all the dark things that he talked about, where, you know, they could bring people back, or they could after someone was dead, they could make them rise and all that stuff. He's the one that studied all that stuff. Probably learned it from the witches, would be my guess.
Well, but we also know from the Acolyte about all of the, you know, the virgins or whatever. So he would have been around during that time and been able to gather that information about, you know, about that. So yeah, there's some tie-ins.
So they're back at the...
They're back at the... Theory that has some support.
Yeah. I think so. So they're still contemplating, a Sith Lord controlling the Senate, and he doesn't think that they're capable. He and Windu agree that they should nevertheless closely monitor the Senate. Meanwhile, Palpatine and a number of senators, including Bail Organa, oversee the launch of the massive clone army forces. And then we see back on Naboo, Anakin with his mechanical arm and Padme hold a secret wedding with C-3PO and R2-D2 as the only witness. And then the credits roll.
Bless you.
Sorry, it's coughing. It's the allergies are catching up me. Catching up on me.
Secrets are no fun.
Yeah. So yeah, they're getting married at a secret wedding, and that's the end of the movie. So,
aww,
it was a sweet little looking outfit too.
They probably honeymooned in the water city with the gun guns
and their blue balls. Oh my, yeah.
I unleash the Kraken.
I don't think so. I don't think there was any of those left.
I think it was a pretty good movie. I thought it was, I personally, and this is with me watching these multiple times, I personally think that The Phantom Menace was a better movie than this one. This one I thought was kind of, it kind of jumped around in a weird way and stuff, and I didn't really like that as much. And I felt like after watching it many times that they made this movie to fill in a lot of the gaps that they had. It was kind of a filler movie, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, it was long. I think it's like, what you say, it was almost 3 hours long, right? It's two hours and 40 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's pretty long and covered a lot of stuff.
I could have done without the 20 minutes of Anakin and Padme rolling around on the grass.
Yeah.
It could have been 10 minutes maybe. Yeah.
Wow, that's a long time.
I mean, there's no skin, so yeah, you know, 5 minutes maybe.
Uh-huh.
Damn, you guys are good. 5 minutes. Shit.
They don't circumcise anymore, so
all righty. This is quickly approaching a different okay. genre of movie.
So let me ask for feedback then on that point. Perfect time for feedback. So we have an email address, feedback@kylejohansson.us. We have a link on our website on that side, one of those sides. You fill out a form and it goes right to us. We're on Twitter @super_duper_pod. We're on the Blue Sky Network @Rebel Alliance. Briefing Room, all one word. And you can find us on YouTube with our videos and audios of our podcast, along with wherever else you find your podcasts at. So, what do you guys think of this movie? Anything else you need to say about it?
I'm good.
You're good. What?
I think it laid a lot of Easter eggs for the later films.
It did. It laid a lot of groundwork for the next movie. And I was actually planning on, like I said before, watching the animated movie, the Clone Wars. Animated one, which is before the Revenge of the Sith. So, if you still want to do that, we can do that.
I actually did watch that.
That gives a lot of background in it. That's again where they introduced Ahsoka and other things. There's a little bit. I think there's a little bit more in there with maybe not Darth Maul. Maybe not. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think he is in there briefly. Even though he got, like, you know, cut in half.
Yeah. There's a lot going on in the animated movie a little bit. I think it is a perfect tie-in for the next movie. And I keep telling you, Rick, you really should watch the animated series too. The animated series has got so much lore and everything in it. It's crazy. You know, it talks about where the mother and the father of the Force and all this stuff. It tells you almost everything you've ever
I started
had
it.
questions about.
I just can't find the time to get it all
Yeah.
done.
Yeah,
So
there's a lot of it. There's
I think six seasons, right?
six or seven seasons.
Yeah, I've made it through most of the first season. I think I got one episode left, but I did watch the animated Clone Wars, the movie part. So I did watch that since we talked about it last time after the last one of these. Matter of fact, I actually just went back and watched a little bit of it last night. Thinking it was in between these, the first one and the second one, then I realized it was in between the second one and the third one.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
yeah. Yep.
So we'll review that one next weekend. If that's okay, if it's not too soon.
Yeah, I think I should be good. Eli's gonna be home next weekend, so that may knock me out, but I won't know until closer to the weekend. I'll let you know.
Maybe we'll get Scott on there too, and we can get him in. Talking to.
Maybe. Yeah.
He's
All
gonna
right.
need
Depends on how drugged up I am.
some time.
Need some time.
And I have to knead the bread.
Yeah, well, you can break out of that joint.
All right. I want to push the outro then.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room Podcast.
Yay.
Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabrkylejohansson.us. That's rabr.kylejohansson.us. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcast. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kylejohansson.us. This podcast in no way is approved, sponsored, or owned by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. All opinions are solely owned by Kyle and or Scott, and in no way express the views or opinions of their past or present employers. Views and opinions are not supported or restricted by Lucasfilms, Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or any or other use of this podcast and its affiliate sites without consent of Super Duper Podcast Network and its host is prohibited.
Prohibited.
I am Kyle John Johansson, and this is Andrew Scott Sutton.
And
say goodbye
Rick,
now.
And Rick, too. Posing as Jar Jar Binkies.
Jar Jar!
And let's go ahead and stop.